With that, our opening presentation and discussion is on the affiliates program from Ursula Rudenberg. It's scheduled for 45 minutes. I said when I sat down that we would start public comment. Edits a lot of time of 8 o'clock, but to allow 45 minutes for Ursula, we'll move that to 8:10. So we will have public comment beginning at 8:10. Ursula, it's your show for the next 45 minutes. And for those that don't know, Ursula Rudenberg is our affiliates program coordinator. Would you like? We should move out of the way.
Not coming back from a standby.
I mean, I think it was interesting.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Do you know Melancholy Baby?
Okay, we're going to start and hope the technical part catches up here. Okay. Okay, I'm going to face this way, I guess. I apologize to the people behind me. I'm trying to figure out the correct place to stand. My name is Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm very pleased to be able to have some time to describe the affiliates program to you. Before I start, I would just like to express what a tremendous pleasure it is for me, an honor not only to work for the Pacifica Foundation, but to have worked now for several years with community radio stations across the country. I'm one of the luckiest people, I think, in the foundation because I work all day with station managers. And the station managers are generally extremely independent and intelligent and people with tremendous leadership quality. And I know there's several in the room, and I feel that way about them as well. And it's just been a real pleasure working with community radio across the country. What I would like to do tonight at the beginning of this presentation is to give you all a brief history of where the affiliates program came from. It's a story about the history of Pacifica, and I would like to relay it to you so that you you know what this program is. The story starts back in the late 1940s when Pacifica was started, after the model for community radio was developed by KPFA in Berkeley. There were many community radio stations began to spring up around the country using the model of KPFA. And many of you might know the names of Lorenzo Milam and Jeremy Landsman, who were two pioneers who kind of went around the country and started building community radios using the community radio model. And we're actually fortunate today to have Jeremy Landsman has returned and is part of our affiliates network now. He has a radio station up in Alaska and is with us today. In the 1970s and the 1980s, we began to see the beginning of what was a distribution system for Pacifica. We had reporters throughout the network and also some stringers in Europe and a group of reporters from KPFA who went to Washington, D.C. to report on what was happening in D.C. and they were what was first called the Washington Bureau. And they began to create a news feed, which was patched together by telephone and distributed to Pacifica stations across the country. And then we also had some other community radio stations like KUNM in Albuquerque and KGNU, where Marty Durlin comes from, who also took this news feed. And this was shared by telephone. In 1975, the National Confederation of Community Broadcasters was created. And as part of this project, there was something called the program exchange, because community radio stations around the country began to feel that they wanted to exchange programming with each other. And this was literally an exchange of tapes that was sent around. The man in charge of it was a man named Bill Thomas, who's up in North Dakota now with public radio. Bill Thomas came to work at Pacifica, and he was actually a director of the Pacifica Radio Archives originally. And so when he came, he brought the tape exchange with him. And so Pacifica inherited this tape exchange program, which kind of came to fruition later on when in 1980 public radio got a satellite, and Pacifica rented space on it. And then Bill Thomas was finally able to really distribute programs around the country effectively. The mail didn't work that well. And so Pacifica stations and also community radio stations outside of Pacifica would bring their programs to, or producers from these stations would bring their programs to Bill Thomas, and he would put them on the satellite. And so then another piece of what developed the affiliates program was that in 1972, Larry Bensky attributes to the first live coverage of national conventions. They covered the Republican and Democratic National Convention with the help of some other kind of radio geeks around the country. I think Jeremy Landsman was involved. And this was really the beginning of the idea of live coverage, which later developed more fully with the Iran-Contra hearings with Larry Bensky. So what you have here is a bunch of people that want to exchange news, they want to exchange programs with each other, they want some high-end production of live coverage, and there's people in community radio stations all around the country who wanted to do this together. And so what you had was really the beginning of a national network. And the affiliates were always part of that activity. And I want to point this out to you because to help you understand that what the affiliates are probably the most desirable kind of client base that any business could want. You have a group of people who have a shared history with us, shared principles, and tremendous loyalty, and have really been part of a natural maturing process with us. And so today we have this tremendous asset of this body of community radio stations who share our mission and want to continue working with us. I'm gonna jump ahead to recent history. In 1990s, formal relations began with affiliates. The Pacifica started a national program service, which was headed by Gail Christian in Los Angeles. And the affiliates program was developed in a very focused and rapid way. Free satellite dishes and satellite receiving equipment was given out to many radio stations across the country. And in our files, we have records of 79 affiliates at that time, seemed to be the peak number. At that time, also Democracy Now! Was started and Pacifica National News. So you really had the beginning of a substantial affiliates program with kind of a real process of contracts. And then we enter into the period that we all know as the Pacifica crisis. Between 1999 and 2000, the National Program Service was terminated, and the affiliate program dropped from 79 stations to 13. And the reasons most commonly cited in our records that people did write in to Pacifica and tell them why they didn't like us anymore. And they complained of lack of services, lack of communication, unfair prices, and erratic programming. And most of all, probably violation of the mission. And so the affiliates participated in protesting during the Pacifica struggle, and they participated mostly through writing manifestos and boycotting. And Rip Robbins can tell you about that period. He was very much part of that period. And if you're interested in hearing what happened, he has some good stories to tell. I think KSVR boycotted, right? Yeah, yeah. Okay, so after the settlement in 2002, during the struggle, Dina Culbert, who is sitting right here, actually began to make inroads through the Pacifica campaign to begin communicating with all the affiliates that had left on political principle, and began to make connections with them. And after the settlement, there was a committee formed of the Interim Pacifica National Board. Teresa Allen headed it up. And I was hired to conduct a survey to figure out who had been an affiliate and what had happened. Out of that survey really was formed a committee that began to work together with some IPMB members and also some of the members of the affiliates who had been most actively involved during the struggle. And really a program was hammered out that was extremely responsive and focused on customer service and a sense of partnership. And since then, the affiliate program has grown quite rapidly. I was hired as an affiliates coordinator in 2003. And I'm going to give you some handouts showing you some of the statistics on the growth. And if you would ask me why the program has grown so rapidly, I would say probably the reason is because this program was really designed according to the requests that were given to us from the affiliates and was really based on the principle of partnership in community radio. So it works? Okay, good. So, I'm going to jump real fast here because we have limited time. What? Okay. So, I'm going to let some of the affiliates tell you themselves why they affiliate with us. We were recently at the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, and we took this little home movie to bring back to you for this board meeting. This meeting was in Portland, Oregon.
To get out the word about issues and keep dialogue going. And we hope you have a great board meeting and keep doing the great work that you do.
Get out to the grassroots thing in Madison, but you want to come up and visit sometime.
Where are you from?
I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, WORQ Radio.
Mary Eigner, KZYX, Philo, California, proud Pacifica affiliate for over 15 years. I can't imagine what our audience would do without their daily fix of Pacifica Radio.
My name is Janice Lane Ewart. I'm the executive director of KFAI Fresh Air Radio in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I am a Pacifica affiliate. I think it's important for the board of directors to understand that there's representation of the viewpoints of Pacifica throughout the country. There are ways in which affiliate stations can move forward agenda items and policies for Pacifica and the communities in which they live. In the Twin Cities, there's a very progressive agenda towards democracy and social change. To the extent that we as affiliates can help the larger body of Pacifica move that agenda forward, we are available and willing to do so.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Paul from Syracuse Community Radio, and we're an affiliate, and I am excited about community radio. It's fun to be at the conference again.
And so my name is Gavin Dahl. I'm a co-music director at Chaos Radio in Olympia, Evergreen State College, 89.3 FM.
and it's my first ever time at NFCB. It's really awesome. Meeting a lot of other Pacifica affiliates. Getting to see the speech from Gregory today was just like so powerful. I was really like pleased to hear that he's like taking this kind of leadership role. And
I wish you all very well in your efforts, and I wish Greg the very best of luck with his efforts to unify the Pacifica family and move us all collectively ahead to do a better job in the future, because America needs Pacifica very badly.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Jamie Hoover. I'm the general manager at KUGS FM Bellingham, Washington, and we're a Pacifica affiliate. And I'd like to say that I appreciate all the work that Pacifica and the Archives does as a teaching tool for students who come into the radio station to learn what public affairs programming is, to listen to models, and also to have a historical perspective of Pacifica and what they've been doing over the last 55 years.
Hi, this is Donna DiBianco from KAOS in Olympia, Washington, out at the NFCB conference here in Portland, Oregon. It's been a beautiful day. It's really nice to be around the Pacifica and you're going to edit, right? It's great to be around the Pacifica Network as well as the affiliates. We get a chance to gather, share ideas, share information, and make a more solid foundation. Thanks for having us.
Hey, I'm Donna Lynn Maldonado. I'm the general manager of KRCL in Salt Lake City, Utah. And we have been a Pacifica affiliate for, oh my God, probably since we went on the air. Well, we've been on the air for 26 years. And we started running Democracy Now! When it first came out, and we're still running it, and we carry other Pacifica programs.
Hi, I'm Matt Murphy. I'm the general manager of Community Radio, WERU-FM, in East Orland, Maine. We've been Pacifica affiliates for a number of years, and I'd say right now we're happiest to be a Pacifica affiliate than we've ever been. The work that Ursula and Dina and others have done to get the affiliates program to be something more meaningful than just us buying programs from Pacifica distribution has meant a lot. And it's really important for us. We feel good about belonging to something bigger than our own station. Our own station is precious to us, but the notion that there's a network, a connection, a family of stations around the country working on the issues of making the world a more just and equitable place is really important to us.
Tunde Obaze, KNON, 89.3 FM, Dallas, Fort Worth. Peace.
Anything else about being an affiliate?
A new affiliate of Pacifica Radio from the Empowerment Radio Division.
Hi, I'm Lupito Flores. I'm the station manager at KYRS LP in Spokane, Washington, and I'm a proud affiliate. Pacifica is very different from what it was in 1991. When I first tried to apply for 89.7 in 1991, I went to NFCB, which back then was, well, y'all know, and no help. And I went to NPR, no help. And I went to Pacifica, and no help, unfortunately. But I'm so glad to say Pacifica is not like that anymore. Pacifica now is very aggressively getting out there. Amy Goodman's on hundreds of outlets, unlike back then. There's very aggressive efforts, like the mapping of possible high full-powered radio stations. It's so exciting to be part of history where, you know, I've been there for when it wasn't so good, and now where it's exciting and happening, and now I have skills to share with people and stories. And I'm just really thrilled to be able to be alive at this point in history.
Because we are connected to the world through our affiliation with Pacifica, we have a certain amount of gravity. We're taken more seriously as a source of important global information. And it's very enriching. It keeps us in contact with one another. It helps us do better community service and fulfill our mission statement to be affiliates. And so we value it very highly.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez. I'm the program director at KUNM Radio in Albuquerque. And we're so appreciative to Pacifica for the wonderful work that you do in creating grassroots public journalism and other kinds of grassroots programming and making that available to our station and to all the community and public radio stations across the United States. People in our listening area in northern and central New Mexico so appreciate the work that that you do at Pacifica, they so depend on it to be informed and to have an alternative perspective available to them. And they're so grateful and happy, and they really support our station because of the programming that you provide. And so I just want to say thanks and keep up the work. And please let us know what we can do to support your work and to help you to continue with your projects. Thanks.
Hello? Okay. I love bringing these little home movies to presentations to the board, because I just really want you to keep seeing these people and who they are and how much they really care about being part of this network. I'm going to let a few other people speak, because a lot of other people are involved with working with the affiliates. But before I do that, just to give you some basic information, today the way we distribute programming, for those of you who are not up on this, we have several methods. We have a satellite called the KU satellite, which is uplinked through KPFA in Berkeley. Other stations download programming primarily. These would be the stations that take Free Speech Radio News or Democracy Now. They actually, many of them download from their websites, from these shows' websites. we also rent space on the public radio satellite, PRSS satellite, to air Democracy Now, and some of the public radio stations that are affiliates use that satellite. AudioPort was created about 2 years ago. It's our internet website for distributing sound files over the web, and also at AudioPort we can stream the satellite, and so the satellite is being streamed online on a constant basis, so stations that don't have satellites can also access the satellite through the internet. There are some other ways that people get our programming. They're kind of amazing. I know of one woman who actually records Democracy Now! On our VCR and then drives 15 miles every day and puts the VCR on the air. And so you have situations like that, too. Okay, I would like to introduce Diane Reinhart. Diane is a volunteer for the Affiliates Program and has done a lot of work. And Diane, why don't you describe what you've been doing?
Over the past 2 years, I've worked with Ursula and Pete to develop two projects, one to build a website for the affiliates and one to create a newsletter for the affiliates. Both of these, obviously, tools that we hope will enhance communication among the affiliates and will also allow better communication between Pacifica and the affiliate networks. And both of them that use the greater resources and centrality of Pacifica to support the grassroots media, to give some sort of a central way for those scattered stations to share ideas and exchange ideas and to be in touch with each other. The first project that I worked on was the website, and working from Pete's design, I worked with Ursula to create content for the website, and my section was primarily the section that talked about why different stations should affiliate with Pacifica. In order to write those statements, what I needed to do first was contact various affiliate stations. So it allowed me to talk to people all across the country and from every kind of station, college stations, community stations, the public stations. Talking to those people was inspirational, primarily because it reminded me every time I spoke to and everyone I spoke to of how these are the people that are really on the front lines of living what the Pacifica mission is, that if you go to a fundamental belief of the idea that dialogue and information can really help save the world, they're out there in local communities organizing and starting it, and that really is the front line of any kind of peace movement, of any kind of social movement. So they were inspirational. They talked also so passionately, as you saw in the video, of what Pacifica means to them. So I talked to people like, to give you some examples, like Lupito Flores, who talked about how in his area in Washington, every other radio station is a member of a larger conglomerate station, so that his station is the only voice that brings things like Democracy Now! Or Free Speech Radio News. Talked to people like Ann Alquist in Minneapolis, who talked about how being part of Pacifica made her and people at her station realize that they were not alone, that they were part of a larger movement, and how important the audio port was to reinforcing that on a daily basis. People like Michael Black at a college in New York, who talked about that he saw carrying Democracy Now! And being affiliated with Pacifica as part of teaching students that anyone who works in media has a commitment to fulfill public service, and that he thought any station who didn't affiliate or didn't look to fulfill that public service was really failing to do what media should do and what the public should do. Or people like Jamie Hoover, who talked about how at her school the archives become such an important resource during any kind of commemorative event, any kind of historical event, any sort of holiday that came up, that the archives were a way to bring it back to life for the students there. I also worked on creating a newsletter, and that will be a more focused forum for the affiliates to speak with each other and for Pacifica to speak on different issues. Part of the idea was to really start by asking, what are the things that what do the affiliates need to know from Pacifica, and what do the affiliates need to be able to share with each other, and to try to create sort of thematic approaches that would come out periodically. The first issue has three articles, and each of those articles is about the person and the station who was nominated to be the affiliate representative to the board, so that the affiliates will know their representatives. In upcoming issue, we'll talk a little bit about some of the legislative tools that are becoming available for growth, the ability maybe for stations to function as emergency broadcast or develop their emergency broadcast capabilities, the need for the aspects of full power licensing that will come up, so that will be in the next one. And we're hoping that as the issues continue, that eventually we will be getting articles from different stations also, and that affiliates will use this as a way for them to place their concerns and their issues and their ideas at the forefront. That's it. That's what I've been doing. Thank you.
The newsletter is going to be posted at pacificanetwork.org, which is the website that we've developed for the network. Rip, I'm going to ask you to speak a little bit. As most of you on the board know, an affiliates task force was created, and we've been trying to get it organized. We've been working away at it, and quite a few people from the task force are here. And Rip, would you want to talk a little bit?
Sure. I'd like to talk about affiliates, and many of you in the room know the word affiliates, and many of you think that affiliates are...
Excuse me, Rip, sorry to interrupt you, but for those of you, I know some of you in the audience don't know Rip. Rip Robbins is the affiliates board member. He's representing the affiliate network, so to speak. There's actually two board members. The other gentleman is sick right now. Rip is from Washington State, from radio station KSVR.
Thanks. Well, I was really happy to see a lot of my colleagues from Washington State in the video. Pacifica is probably the most important alternative network in our area of the country. But affiliates are not just one thing, and the word affiliate does make it seem so. But they do have one thing in common. They all do want to utilize Pacifica programming. But they actually have a variety of motives. Some affiliates are interested in a la carte shopping at Pacifica, meaning Democracy Now!, Free Speech Radio News, and archive premiums. But other stations are dedicated to the mission, and they look to Pacifica as a model for a progressive network, and they value the history and the good work that Pacifica has done and continues to do. And Ursula just mentioned PacificaNetwork.org, and I encourage everyone to go there to take a look at some of the work that she and Pete have done to set up an information base for potential new clients to the network. And hopefully the network's going to continue the growth pattern that we've seen in recent years. the let me give you just an example. When you go to that website, the kind of affiliates that we have, the kind of different affiliates that exist. Of course, we have community radio affiliates that are similar to the sister stations. We also have community college radio stations that affiliate like mine. We also now have public radio stations who are taking Pacifica programming. Now we have LPFMs, low power stations, which really shouldn't be called low power. It's just low wattage radio stations. A newer invention are internet radio stations, and they're becoming affiliates. So what we have is we have some different definitions for affiliates and different contracts that we write with them, but we're all part of that network that's broadening. And here's some new affiliates that we're looking at. Believe it or not, commercial radio stations are now inquiring about becoming affiliates to take some of the programming. It's obvious that commercial programming isn't satisfying as much as it was perhaps in the past, and they're looking to the kind of programming that Pacifica stations develop. People want to hear that kind of programming. Now we're seeing that international entities are making inquiries about getting Pacifica programming. And we're also seeing schools inquire about becoming affiliates. And what's interesting about this is that it's dovetailing with some of the initiatives that the board has been reviewing lately, including outreach to schools, high schools, and colleges for use of the programming, of the current radio programming, and also use of the archive material that we have. And also it's dovetailing with the concepts of new technologies delivery that we've been talking about here at the board level recently. I would also encourage everyone to take a look at the audio port, because the audio port is opening up more opportunities for program sharing, which is just going to open up more and more opportunities for other outlets to take advantage of the Pacifica programming that we have to offer, and also programming that's contributed by the affiliate stations, so that it becomes a two-way sharing network that we have. It's not just the five sister stations producing programming. Now we have over, 85 to 90 affiliates that are also contributing programming that I see as a valuable sharing network that Pacifica stations, that the sister stations can take advantage of, as well as the affiliates. So I know that at my station, my audience is I would just be parroting what everyone said up there. We have terrific programming that comes from Pacifica, and what it does is it enlarges the information that my audience could get, which we could never be able to do on our own. So I know my station appreciates that too.
We currently have 95 affiliates, and it's pretty certain that by the end of this fiscal year, which is October, that we'll have hit the 100 mark. So what we have really now is the potential for much more than a situation that's just clients and distribution. We really have the potential to have a network to do something, to do various things to impact our country. Some of the things that have been brought up have been using a network like ours for an emergency system of some sort, an emergency alert system if necessary. There's a lot of interest in using community radio to try and influence people's thinking during election time. And a current project that Pacifica has joined in together now with the National Federation of Community Broadcasters and the Prometheus Project is an effort to create new radio licenses around the country, because the FCC is soon going to open a window for probably the last commercial, the last non-commercial radio licenses that are going to be available. So this is going to be a big campaign that Pacifica is going to be participating in. And what we've done is we've hired somebody to figure out where all the remaining frequencies are in the country. And the gentleman who did it, his name is Mike Brown. He's in Portland, Oregon. He sent me, he made all these maps showing where these frequencies are, and he sent them to me. The hotel tells me they're not here yet, but as soon as they come, the hotel's promised me we can tape them to the wall. So probably by tonight or tomorrow, we'll be able to have some maps on the wall so you can check out where frequencies are around the country. Another part of the ideas of building a larger kind of activity than just having, in other words, really creating a movement, is the idea of building regional networks. And Evelyn Bethune, who is sitting at the end here, is also on the Phillies Task Force and had a very interesting conversation with some of the people in the Northwest that are working on this. And Evelyn, if you could just say a few words. We're trying to keep everything to 3 minutes here because we're trying to keep time.
I can be very brief, great. I promise. In that conversation, basically it was a conference call with a gentleman who is a part of the Northwest Affiliates network. And what he was talking about was the value of being able to use the archives and the audio ports for programming, digital programming, and his station is just, that's their primary focus. He is very excited about being a part of what Pacifica is doing. And what he has is something that, if we really take a solid look at it, could be basically cloned and used across the affiliates network. To help really grow a solid foundation for educational kinds of programming and just a host of sharing of information and programs across the Affiliates Network and Pacifica Network. So it was really exciting to talk to him, and I think that we'll have continued dialogue and see where the best fit is to be able to do something, because what the affiliates are talking about doing is more hands-on touching of the affiliates with, from Pacifica in terms of helping them to be more connected to us and us to be more connected to them. And part of what I think can come from the Northwest Affiliates Network is the how to do that, because they have a very solid program already in place. So it's not like we'd have to recreate the wheel. We can take what's there and grow it.
Thank you. Partly what they're doing in the Northwest is they're pioneering the concept of building networks based on regional, local regional groups, so that stations all close to each other build their own networks so they can exchange programming and develop regional news. And also help each other with training. In other words, if there's a strong station in an area, like this station was in Seattle, they can help the little stations around them not only acquire licenses but also build the stations and train them. And so it's the idea is that people close to you can help each other. And if they then work with Pacifica, in a way, they become a natural outreach effort for us based on local contacts. I'm going to last but not least, ask Dina to speak. Dina is also working on the Affiliates Task Force, and why don't you describe what you're doing?
Hi, I'm Dina Colbert, and I've been working with the affiliates since 2001, and I have to say it's been an incredible experience. I have friends literally across the nation, and I can't tell you what it's like, but as you get to know managers everywhere and then producers everywhere, it feels like family, literally, across, you know, the nation. So I really encourage everybody to feel that and to join in with us. And one way of doing that is we formed a committee called Connecting Pacifica Networks Producers. And the goal of that is to connect the producers across the network so that they can produce programming in partnership and collaboration. That's the goal, and we're building a database to do that. And this is right now in the concept and formation stage. So far, I've been able to talk to three of our sister stations. I plan to talk to the other two. I'm almost positive they will join in. And we're doing this collaboratively. I also need to talk to every one of the program directors in the sister stations as we developed the basic stages. But right now, we have three stages of working this through. First of all, in talking to, and I also talked to dozens of managers at NFCB to find out what they thought about it and would they come on board. And so we're really building support for this database before we even begin it. which is very important. One thing that everybody has said is that all collaborations must meet the needs of the local stations. They must have their own voice. Producers want their own voice. Stations want their own voice. The database needs to be implemented in stages. The first stage is to utilize what we already have in place. And for those of you who aren't aware of it, there is a program called Sprouts, which is a network-wide collaboration of producers. Any producer in the network can join it. You just have to get hold of Ursula, and she'll help key you into the programs that are being produced, and you can be a part of that. We also have a listserv, a Sprouts listserv, for producers that are producing. And so rather than start another listserv or another kind of programming, what we're asking everybody to do is join in something that's already in place and just help build it. We also want to determine which stations do production and which do not in the network across the country, and we want a list of stations that produce news. That would be stage one, to give us a base of information. Stage two would be to incorporate youth programming and to incorporate those stations that do training programs, to tell us where we are in those two areas. And the last part of the database, of course, would be the most important, which is all the details in the database. It would list all producers who could put down by issue what they do, subject matter, whichever word you like. Also, the area of interest that they may be interested in. For instance, I do public programs, but I may want to do specials, and in what areas. Also, area of functionality. Do they have technical skills? Don't they have technical skills to come on board? What kind of previous programming have they done? Give us examples. Special programming, interviews. So some of all of that is what we're talking about, but that makes it a very complicated database, and we don't want to go there to begin. What we want to do is get the basics that I said in stage one up and running, basics in stage two running, and then we'll look at the complication of all that other material. We have some questions that we haven't... Okay, we need to end it. So there are only two questions, quickly. One is how to bring structure, quality, and standards to this process. And the other question is, if there are other collaborations and partnerships in the network, can we link them to our website? And for those people who are interested, I recommend that you contact ursulatpacifica.org, and she will give me the information and will put you into the database. Thanks.
So are there any questions?
Before we do that, I was wondering if we could ask the indulgence of the audience to let us go another 5 minutes so the board can ask a couple of questions prior to public comment. Would that be acceptable to almost everybody? Is there any objection on the board to extending 5 more minutes so we'll have about 7 minutes to ask questions and be in dialogue? Okay, great. So you were asking for questions?
Yeah.
So who would like to, does anybody have a question? Bob?
Two questions. First, can you just give us an example of some of the programs that Pacifica offers that are less well-known, and how many do we offer currently to affiliates altogether?
On the satellite, there's 22 programs. And it's kind of hard to say because AudioPort is basically an infinite archive. The AudioPort people upload from all of the Pacifica or affiliate stations. I don't know how many shows are in the archives, several thousand by now. So it's an ever-expanding offering. Examples of other types of shows. Shows that we have on the satellite, some of them are from Pacifica stations. I think we have at least one show from each station. The show that's on the satellite here from New York is Explorations with Michio Kaku, and is actually taken by quite a few affiliates. And then there's shows that independent producers do. Counterspin is on the satellite.
Drug War News.
Right. And Drug War News. Right. And there's Making Contact comes out of Berkeley. Larry Bensky has a show on the satellite. The satellite schedule is readily available. If you go to PacificaNetwork.org, it's all there. You can see what's there. And if you go to AudioPort, just go to AudioPort.org and you can just search by topic or producer.
Thanks. And thanks for your report. I just wanted to ask you to briefly expand on two of your issues of concern. One is to provide cross-cultural materials that meet the needs of diverse communities, and the second is to provide a budget that meets the needs of the affiliate coordinator to expand the network and maintain quality services.
Okay. There is a budget committee on the task force, and Greg and Lonnie have graciously agreed to speak to us about finances, or to at least talk to us about the financial situation with the affiliates program. So hopefully within the next few days we'll meet with them and talk it over. What we did do is when I made the initial budget, I met with the members of the task force and they advised me. Fortunately, Rip was on that and he's an experienced station manager, so he was able to give me a lot of advice.
The cross-cultural materials?
The cross-cultural is that there have been inquiries internationally at this point, and it's possible that we could have affiliates around the world, and at some point we have to make materials available as we go along, and that's why it's put where it is.
Ray?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Hearing how important the work of the affiliates, the whole program is, it's rather surprising that there's no line item in our budget for this program. And I hope that, I urge that we really get down to business and see how we can move this forward. I'm getting a smile from the executive director. I hope that's a good sign. I'm working with the affiliate committee now and looking forward to doing good work. As an organizer, I know how difficult it is to organize in the South, you know, being made up of mostly of so-called right-to-work states and so on. Can you tell us how many stations are part of the affiliate group that are from the South, and what are the prospects for the immediate future?
It's not a lot. It's no more than five. We just got a new affiliate in Port Arthur, Texas, which is in the area where Katrina was very Port Arthur was very hard hit by Katrina, and it's a small, actually African American low powered radio station that is located in the city hall in Port Arthur and has become very central in terms of dealing with the cleanup area. So that's going to be a very interesting group of people to get to know.
We have the
process that Evelyn was talking about is a process that we've been talking about in terms of the South, and Yvonne, who's not here, is interested in using this model of local networks to build up connections in the South that don't exist yet.
We have 3 minutes, actually 2 minutes left. We have three people who'd like to ask a question: LaVarn, Don, and Alan. If we could go very quickly, please, through each. LaVarn.
Yeah, this is fine. Thank you for the report. It's always very, very fulfilling or interesting to see the affiliates and to actually hear you here. But I had a question that was actually similar to what the young man there, Ray, asked. Thank you. And that's in terms of stations in the South or stations in Louisiana or in that area, basically, I guess you could almost call it the hurricane belt now. Do we have stations there? And with KPFA, they have KFCF, which is more of a sister station. And are there any directions in terms of trying to develop stations in that type of relationship, particularly in that area because of the critical nature of what is happening, both the economic in terms of putting a spotlight on the economics of that area and the fact that, the global warming and issues that could be related to the hurricanes in that area?
Well, we're very fortunate that one of our board members, who is not here today but is usually here, is Yvonne Dooley, who's the station manager from WRFG in Atlanta, Georgia. And WRFG is one of the kind of outposts for community radio in the South. Yeah, That's right. So Yvonne is really interested in taking a leadership role when he gets out of the hospital to help forge more of those relationships. Trying to remember what the other half of your question was. Oh, right. The KFCF is an associate station, and they are basically rebroadcast KPFA's content. And I'm not actively involved with that kind of relationship. That's more of a relationship that a station manager would develop with a station in the vicinity. I have been involved with the idea of sister stations in the sense of building relations between stations in the United States that can help each other, and also stations in North America that want relationships with stations in other countries around the world. That's an idea that there's a lot of talk about, and I think especially when we begin to try to help people apply for new licenses, which is going to be a very difficult process, the idea of sister stations is going to become even more important, because stations that already exist can buddy up with people that want to build community radio stations and help them through this very difficult process.
We're at time now. Does the board want to extend enough for Don and Alan to ask a minute question each and a minute response?
So moved.
Without objection, please keep your comments and the response quick.
I'll make this very quick. I was fascinated, Rip, by your comment about commercial stations maybe wanting to carry, you know, programming. Where is that? How many? And this is not totally comical, but is this a new revenue source for a Pacifica, and will the rates be somewhat higher than the affiliates?
We've been approached by three commercial radio stations. One of them was in Santa Cruz, offered a lot of money. Another one is in Minneapolis, offered no money. And the third, and neither of those stations are affiliates. At the time when these people approached us, the sense at Pacifica was that we didn't have the policies in place. And unfortunately, we turned them down. I think it's unfortunate. I would have liked to have had the money. The third station happens to be an affiliate. It's a group of people in Buffalo who kind of slid under before this became an issue. They actually start out by renting time on a commercial station, and our programming was so successful that they ended up getting the whole station, and now they basically run the station. It's an AM station, and it is a commercial station, and they run it, and they have increased their fees dramatically because they are commercial. They're really quite something.
Alan?
I don't believe they run commercials during the program, though.
No, they don't. They run before and after.
One thing
I want to say about that, this is related to the Air America phenomenon, because Air America stations are being created, and then they want to couple up with Pacifica.
Alan?
Three questions, very quick, though. How many non-English language affiliates are there? And separate of that question, how much interest would you anticipate or already know that there is for the national Spanish language program from Pacifica? That's two questions. And third question, which could inform a future discussion of this board at this meeting, what would you anticipate the reception would be among affiliates to an hour-long daily national show leading up to the national elections in November this year?
There's only one affiliate that I know of that's not completely non-English, and that's the station in Immokalee, Florida, with the farm workers.
Yeah.
RIP station in Washington is 60% Spanish. Yeah. So some of our affiliates, the station you saw, KRCL in Salt Lake City, has a lot of Spanish. So some of our stations do broadcast a lot of Spanish. I do think there would be interest. I think that one of the things that Rip and I want to do to support the Spanish language effort is to survey the affiliates and provide information to those people who are developing it, because Rip actually had a lot of very interesting feedback to give because of his experience with running programming like that. Okay. The last question
was again to inform a potential future discussion we'll have at this meeting concerning an idea that's been floated for
I think some stations would take it. Some stations are already beginning to get more frequency because of digital going digital and are asking us for more programming. They're saying, you know, we would give you a whole morning if you have the programming. KUNM is one of the stations that's saying that to us. So those stations are looking for that kind of thing. What do you think, Rip?
Excuse me. Given the shortness of time, I'm hoping that we can incorporate more of that discussion when we talk about national programming during the programming committee report and at other times during the weekend. So that gets us through the affiliate director report. Thank you very much, Ursula. Mm-hmm.